coming your way on Wednesday. It is a gym class here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us here today. 1600 AM, the main gym, 107.5, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. And in Iowa City, we welcome you in on the South Gym, 106.3 FM. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes. Alex Kuhn in Iowa City. He's at Carver Hawkeye Arena along with Todd Brommelkamp and Tyler Ryder. Todd and Tyler probably making their way back up here any moment as Iowa Men's Basketball Media Day going on in Iowa City today at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Fran McCaffrey just got done addressing the media. Players are out on the floor right now, and Alex will be getting some quotable quotes from the Iowa basketball players coming up here in just a little bit. We'll also hear from on the APC from Fran McCaffrey. A very jovial Fran McCaffrey today. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, and you know, this is the time of year. Expectations are limitless, pretty much. Spirits are high in every camp. We talked about you and I yesterday and Ben Jacobson's first day, and you know, I ask you, and this is a possible poll question before the season starts,
and a good one
later this month. Which school will have the best college basketball team in the state this year?
It is
very interesting.
It's very intriguing. I picked up my first college basketball magazine, the Sporting News, last night, leafed through it last night, and Iowa, I believe, eighth, right about in the middle. I leafed through several of them, and the Big Ten, Iowa, just about in the middle, everybody's prediction. Iowa State ranging anywhere from 2 through 4.
Two, huh?
Yeah, one magazine had them at number 2. Sporting News has them at number 4, though, behind Kansas, obviously, West Virginia, believe Oklahoma, but don't quote me on that, and then Iowa State. And then you and I picked 3rd. Illinois State's got everybody back, and they should have a really good team in normal. Wichita State, of course, picked 1st. Drake, though, picked toward the bottom, so I would imagine that it's probably not going to be the Drake Bulldogs this year, but stranger things have happened. But you got Iowa State with Monte Morris, who's a preseason All-American by a lot of folks, but so much firepower off that team missing from last year, especially with George Niang. Naz Long comes back. He will be a help. Thomas will be back. This team will shoot a little bit better from the outside. Probably not going to be quite as good from 15 feet in, but we shall see about that. Iowa and Fran McCaffrey talked about it. He is ecstatic about the fact that he's got a lot of guys that are going to be vying for minutes. Probably a 10 to 11 man rotation. Is that going to work, though, in Iowa City, Mark? A 10 to 11 player rotation. Are there enough basketballs to go around on any team to keep 10 or 11 guys happy?
I mean, that seems like a lot, doesn't it? That's not what we've come to know about Fran. I think he'd rather be around 8 or 9. I think it's a demonstration or a comment about what kind of team he has this year in terms of, aside from maybe Peter Jock, maybe Tyler Cook.
Was raving about Cook.
Yeah, the minutes and the talent is pretty equal. So we shall see.
Yeah, and he said Fran McCaffrey, we'll hear more from him coming up in the APC, but was raving about Cook. Also had a lot of good things to say about Cordell Pemsel, the Dubuque Wallert grad on the interior. Says his post defense is going to be better this year. Don't expect a lot of changes as far as the philosophy is concerned. Might run a little bit more off of defensive rebounds, which I think is a good thing. I think this team is probably a little bit more athletic than last year's team up and down the line was. It's different year to year. We shall see. Somebody did ask him the question, what are you going to do with 13 available scholarships and 15 commitments coming up. And he said, it's all going to work itself out. Don't worry. Yeah, hint, hint, wink, wink. Already speculation that son Connor next year will be not on scholarship. He'll just be a member of the basketball team and the baseball team.
And the baseball team. So I'm sure they'll work that out financially. Among the other comments that Fran had, and again, you'll hear audio on the Afternoon Players Club, 4 to 7 o'clock. Fran McCaffrey saying Dom Uhl needs to be more consistent and have a bigger impact in the middle. And Nicholas Baer, Fran McCaffrey said he's going to be very important and will play more.
It's going to be interesting to see 11 guys out there. This team has got a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of talent. And you talked about another team, you and I. We mentioned them yesterday with Ben Jacobson having his media day. Pretty much a brand new cast of characters behind Jeremy Morgan, Wyatt Lohouse, Clint Carlson, people like that. UNI's got talent as well. And never underestimate Ben Jacobson. Never underestimate Ben Jacobson. Just a brutally tough non-conference schedule, though. What do you think out there about in-state basketball this year? Yeah, we're talking basketball on Wednesday, October 5th, with Iowa and Minnesota getting ready to tee it up on Saturday, and Iowa State going to go up against Oklahoma State down in Stillwater. 319-366-1600. That's the Guppies on the Go text line. When you're Guppies on the Go. I did say that, didn't I? That just went right over me. I apologize to Jerry.
Jerry asked, we'll forgive you, I think, one time. Yeah,
that's the first time. Do we have a jar? It's like I rolled an open when you guys got strikes. More on that later on. I apologize.
Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, 319-366-1600. And you can put that...
The show is going so well,
put that
too.
$10 bill right in this hat.
Whoa,
okay?
Whoa, whoa. Right. It's not $10 for bowling, and it's certainly not $10 for here. We do have a Dr. Pepper prize pack we're going to be giving away. I'm 100% sure on that, which includes a 12-pack of regular Dr. Pepper, a 12-pack of Diet Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper t-shirt, KGYM t-shirt, and one of our very popular KGYM pint glasses we will give away. So we will do that before 4 o'clock today. We're going to talk to Mike Grimm coming up here in just a couple of minutes from Minneapolis. He's the play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Golden Gophers, the former Eastern Iowa, and we will talk with Mike about that. And maybe a couple basketball questions as well. Big year for the Gopher basketball team with Richard Pitino up there. There's no doubt about it. Richard Pitino is definitely on the hot seat in Minneapolis right now.
Yeah, and we'll see what Mike's view on that is. And, you know, it's kind of been up and down, mostly down for Pitino, hasn't it?
Last couple years it has been. Looked like he had that program where he wanted it. But then the last 2 years have been very frustrating for Minnesota folks up there. So we will talk with Mike about that. And then Chris Liss of RotoWire.com, just past the bottom of the hour, and his appearance brought to you by Imon Communications. And get your fantasy football questions ready to go for Chris.
Dandy American League wildcard game last night, won by Toronto on a walk-off three-run homer. And I was exchanging texts with Cal Eldred last night, our baseball guy, and he said his popcorn maker was working overtime.
That was a great game.
He was loving every minute of it. He commented that Ubaldo Jimenez, who gave up that home run to Encarnacion, has always had trouble in the first inning. And Cal said it's not a good spot for him, but they were running out of pitching at that time. So,
But Mr. Britton never got in the game last night.
Yeah.
For the Baltimore Orioles, and you got to use every one of your resources. Baltimore Orioles left maybe one of their top five guys on that team, definitely their top pitcher. They left him on the sideline last night when he could have been paraded out there, especially when it's a first and third situation. Could have got him up quickly, had a couple of meetings on the mound, intentional walk perhaps. That game had everything last night. It had intrigue. It had stupidity. It had great play, clutch hitting, and a great ending. I don't know what more you can ask for as far as the American League playoff game was concerned last night.
What do you think about tonight, the National League wild card game? That's the subject of our poll question today. KGYMradio.com. Who wins tonight's National League wild card game? San Francisco or the New York Mets? The winner, of course, to face the Chicago Cubs next up. Thanks to Emo's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
I believe we were split on that on tonight's game when we talked about it yesterday. By the way, we are one up on Cal because we both had Toronto winning that game last night. I believe Encarnacion's ball has now just come down.
That was a bomb, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a no-doubter. Matt Wieters last night, did you see the replay? As soon as that ball made contact with the bat, just stood up and turned to the right and walked to the dugout. He knew it. Catcher and the pitcher know if that is going to be a home run. And Wieters knew right away that ball was gone last night.
Kenneth on the text line is going with the Giants in terms of our poll question. He comments, Bumgarner is always lights out at Citi Field. And Andy at 2936 weighing in on my question about who will have the best college basketball team in the state. Iowa State will start five seniors with the best point guard in the country running the show. No doubt who the best team in the state is.
Okay. I can't disagree with that. The only thing about Iowa State, I question the depth a little bit, and is Naslong completely healthy and ready to go after missing an entire year?
I like Burton. I like Burton a lot.
Yeah.
I think he's
a new role for him, though.
Yeah, he could definitely have a big year.
New role for him. Thomas, and we'll see, without George Niang, that's a big loss.
Mm-hmm.
That is a big, big loss, is George. Obviously, for Iowa State, Jared Utoff's a big loss for the Iowa Hawkeyes as well. Best of luck to those guys. It was good to see Marcus Page on a sit-down on social media today, talking about, softball questions that the Utah Jazz were throwing.
Yeah, what's your favorite go-to food and that sort of thing, and who's the last person you text?
Could have thrown something out there that Mom made. I don't know if she's the one that makes the chocolate pancakes or whatever, but, I think that would be... Get Mom's name out there.
Marcus with the Utah Jazz. The Jazz open up the preseason tonight, and it remains to be seen whether Marcus will make this team or end up in the D-League. So best of luck to him, though.
Yeah, best of luck to him. 15 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here in the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. We're going to take a break, come back. Mike Grimm is going to join us, and we will talk Iowa, Minnesota, the battle for Floyd or Rosedale coming up at TCF Bank Stadium in Minneapolis on Saturday. That's an 11 o'clock kickoff. 9 o'clock for the pregame show before the boom on 107.5 and 106.3 FM KGYM. And then we've got the post-game show live as soon as the game ends. It'll be here in studio coming up on Saturday. Todd, Mark, and Tyler will be there. And should be a very interesting game coming up on Saturday between the Iowa Hawkeyes and the Minnesota Golden Gophers. So we'll talk about that with Mike Grimm when we come back. You're listening to the Gym Class on KGYM.
Come get rocked. Jeff Lubbard, REO Speedwagon, and they're bringing along Tesla. Jeff Lubbard. October 10th, 7 p.m., the U.S. Cellular Center. Playing all the hits that have made them rock music icons. With REO Speedwagon. One great hit after another. Jeff Lubbard. What unforgettable night. October 10th, 7 p.m. at U.S. Cellular Center. Tickets are on sale now at the box office and Ticketmaster.com. Jeff Lubbard. REO Speedwagon. Tesla.
This is the Gym, Scott Unash. Get ready for Prairie football action Friday afternoon at 3 during the LaJames International College tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard. Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club and pay no green fees. Shotgun tee-off is at 1. The cost is just $30. Individual and team play will be chosen randomly. And since there are no green fees, all the cash goes to prizes, meaning you get 100% of your money back. No green fees. No more excuses. Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club. Sign up in the clubhouse before 12:30 or call that morning, 393-9915.
Hear that? That's the sound of you creating your own destiny. While others are waiting in line for brunch, you're spending Saturday in the garage. Because you went to AdvanceAutoParts.com, ordered a platinum battery with a 3-year replacement warranty, and picked it up in-store just 30 minutes later. Now, installing a battery isn't an all-day job, but what the brunch crowd doesn't know won't hurt it. Advance Auto Parts. Let's get you back on the road. Visit AdvanceAutoParts.com to learn more.
You might not know it, but fall is the perfect time to feed your lawn. So this football season, you can spend halftime eating some lukewarm bean dip, or you can head outside and run some lawn feeding routes using Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fall Lawn Food. The conditions are ideal for grass to grow deep roots, so your lawn will be stronger come spring. So forget the room temperature dip. Get out there and pick up your bag today. Fall time is yard time with Scotts.
Covering Eastern Iowa sports for more than 40 years combined. UNASH and Dukes. The Gym Class on KGYM.
We are back with you here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class at 3:19. Scott UNASH and Mark Dukes with you. We're going to talk fantasy football with Chris Liss of RotoWire.com. That'll be coming up here in just a little bit. A reminder, National League playoff action coming your way tonight at 7 o'clock. All three of our frequencies, 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. New York Mets hosting the San Francisco Giants. And we'll have it coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. On Saturday, it's Iowa and Minnesota battling it out for Floyd Rosedale. And to talk more about that, our friend and native Eastern Iowan, Mike Grimm, joining us from the Twin Cities here on this Wednesday afternoon. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Scott. Thank you. Will you allow me to shoot a arrow across the bow?
Sure.
Okay, so you've got this Chris Liss coming up on fantasy football.
Yep.
I've been in a league for 22 years with the same guys from Marion, my high school buddies out at the Cotton Gallery, and every year I win it. And so I'm going to invite them to listen to Chris to try to get some advice as how to knock me off finally.
Wow.
You win it every single year.
Every year. It's like stealing money, guys. It's stealing money. They don't know how to play, and I'm winning it every year. 22 straight years.
That's unbelievable. That's better than Wash swimming, almost. Not quite. But
it's a powerhouse. It's a powerhouse, that's for sure.
Hey, Mike,
want to talk Hawkeyes?
Sure, and Gophers.
Yeah, Mike, looking at this game, the one thing that really stands out to me is Minnesota's rushing attack. Three players have rushed for 100 yards, and the Gophers rank near the top in the Big Ten. And somewhat surprisingly, Iowa has really struggled in that department stopping the run. So I got to believe that's a focal point of this game.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that. The Gophers want to run the football. At the end of last year, they let go of the offensive coordinator and the offensive line coach. It was the same person and brought in two separate guys, a new offensive coordinator, former Northern Iowa quarterback Jay Johnson, the only man to ever beat out Kurt Warner four straight years as a starter, and then hired a new offensive line coach, a young guy who worked for Brett Bielema at Wisconsin as an assistant. And I think it's mattered. I think it's changed a little bit, and I don't think there's any doubt that they want to run. Now, that said, Penn State also had trouble stopping the run most of the year. And last week, I thought the Gophers, they threw a lot. I mean, they threw, I don't know what the final number was, but they threw more than I thought they would. So I don't know if it's just going to be handoff every time. Obviously, if it's working and the Hawks are struggling against the run again, they'll do that. But I think you'll see the Gophers try to be balanced as they can.
Mitch Leidner is a terrific quarterback for the Gophers, and I think very much underrated. How's his year started off so far?
Well, I think he's playing the best football he has in his career. He was just okay, you know, as you would expect a young guy to be when he first started. He got a start as a redshirt freshman, I should say, and kind of alternated starts the next year as a sophomore, and then got all the starts all alone last year. Played much of the year injured. A lot of people didn't know that. He was good, not great. And I think because of his size, he's 6'4", 230, he can run. He's powerful. He's got a really strong arm. Accuracy has been one of his issues over the course of time. And I think, frankly, the change in offense, they're calling plays that have some higher percentage completions, some easier throws they're asking him to make to get some confidence. He's playing at a high level. That said, he's really been good against Iowa, his two starts. Remember, 2 years ago, he had a career-high four touchdowns in that blowout at TCF Bank Stadium. And then in the loss for Minnesota last year, he had one of his better games of his career. I think it was 260 or something through the air. So he likes playing against Iowa, and I think he's outside of a really bad interception he threw last week in the red zone out at Penn State, he has played at a pretty high level.
I know, Mike, at the end of the day, this matters little, but I was favored in this game, a slight favorite, and I'm frankly surprised at that. Why do you think that is, and are you surprised by that?
I was a little surprised. Now, if you'd asked me, you know, at Big Ten Football Media Day and at the end of July, I'd have said, well, Iowa's probably a touchdown favorite. But let's face it, the Hawkeyes haven't knocked the world out yet. And Minnesota sitting at 3-1, for all intents and purposes, should have won the game last week at Penn State. That doesn't change what kind of team they are that they lost or won that game. They were within an eyelash of winning. I thought they outplayed Penn State. So yeah, I was a little surprised given what's happened and given that it's in Minneapolis and the Hawks, traditionally haven't played great in that venue. So, I was a little surprised that it wasn't at a minimum, a pick 'em or a toss up, but, the Gophers getting 2.5 on their home field is probably an attractive bet, I would think.
Yeah, I would think so. Mike Grimm joining us at 3:24 on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Tracy Clays, how has this first full year gone so far? Everything? I would imagine the process of going from one coach to the next probably didn't take too long in this situation, but has he taken over this program and put his personal stamp on it?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. The transition was easy, mostly because the staff had all been intact, forever. I mean, Clays had been with Kill for 22 years, and so from a logistics standpoint, from a structure of practice standpoint, from the type of kid they want to recruit, that stuff has all stayed the same. Defensively, it's pretty much stayed the same. Offensively, as I mentioned, there was a little controversy there because the offensive coordinator who he let go had been with Kill for 20 years. And, that's a pretty bold step given that the strength of this staff had been that they'd been together for so long. But that change he felt was needed. And at this point, it looks like it was a good one because the offense, last year was, like 103rd out of 128. And this year, for the first time in my time doing games, which I'm in my sixth year, Minnesota's had three straight games with 400 plus yards of total offense. So the offense is better. So that's good. I think Clay's biggest adjustment was just being the man in the spotlight. He had for all those years really kind of been a behind the scenes guy, kind of a mad scientist in the film room concocting defenses and not a real public face. So frankly, that's probably been the biggest adjustment is all the personal appearances you have to make. He loves coaching football. And as you guys know, nowadays, when you're the head coach at a Big Ten university, the actual coaching part is not nearly what it is if you're an assistant, a coordinator, or something like that. So I think from that standpoint, he had to adjust to that. But there's no doubt now this is his team. The players are buying into what he's, what he's trying to get done. And again, much of the logistics is all the same as what it was under Jerry Kill.
Mike, as you know, Minnesota has two different helmets and about a dozen different uniform combinations. And I think if they come out in a maroon helmet and a gold maroon uniform, the Hawks are in trouble. But how is that decided?
That's a good question. I think the players sometimes get to choose. The equipment guy chooses as well. They I forget what the number of combinations are. It's not as many as you think. But when you have you have white pants, gold pants, and maroon pants, and then you have a maroon, gold and white jersey. So I guess whatever the multiplication of that is, and then you have two different helmets, it's a lot of combos. Last week they went with the classic look, I believe, with the white jerseys and the maroon helmets. I don't know what they'll do this week. I'm going to guess they'll stay away from gold since that's one of Iowa's primary colors. I think you're going to see maroon is what my guess would be.
Well, it's Iowa-Minnesota week. There's now no love lost between the Gophers and the Hawkeyes. First of all, will Sid Hartman have a tribute to Bob Brooks? And secondly, what is the vibe in Minneapolis-St. Paul right now? The Vikings are going so well to start. Are they kind of overshadowing everything?
For sure, there's no doubt about it. And I'll be honest, it's always been a fight for the Gophers anyway. This is a Viking state. There's no question about that. This was a Gopher territory, and then the Vikings showed up in 61, and it's interesting, and I didn't realize it quite honestly till I moved here and just did some more studying on the history. But pre-1961, before the Vikings got to Minnesota, the Gophers were kind of thought in the same vein as an Ohio State and Michigan. They had won 18 Big Ten titles and 6 national titles up to that point. Since that point, they've won 1 Big Ten title in 67. They tied and obviously no national titles either. So it's been hard to fight that NFL vibe. And now the Vikings are 4-0. They have a brand new stadium that's absolutely gorgeous. It's an unbelievable facility. So yeah, it's a fight. And then to lose the game the way the Gophers did last week, where again, they kick a field goal to go up with 59 seconds to go, and you basically just have to keep Penn State out of field goal range, and they couldn't do it. It goes to overtime, and they lose on the first play of Penn State's possession on a touchdown. So very disheartening. So it's hard for people you know, when there's other stuff going on to fully buy in. There's still a couple thousand tickets left for this game. As of yesterday, this was not a sellout. So, you know, I think it's probably even on the other end a little bit. You know, I don't think as many Iowans travel up here as used to be when it was a Metrodome game and everyone knew they'd be about the elements and that kind of stuff. So, I think it's, to steal a phrase from Missouri, I think it's kind of a show-me kind of situation. They want to see the Gophers, you know, do some winning before they fully buy into this whole thing. And it's a first-year coach, so there's a lot of things in the mix here. And the Gophers would be advised to, you know, after Iowa, they hit a pretty, you know, I guess, softer portion of the schedule. I think their four straight games are Maryland, Rutgers, Illinois, and Purdue. Now, at Maryland next week, a week from this Saturday, it's going to be no picnic. They're elevated up, and I think the Gophers will be an underdog in that game. But after that, there's, you know, if they want to keep the interest of this public, they're going to need to win a handful of those games.
Mike, what has head coach Tracy Clays had to say about the Hawkeyes this week in terms of any concerns he may have?
Well, you know, he has a great amount of respect for Kirk and the group there. When Kill and Clays and all those guys were assistants at Southern, Kirk would let him come and watch practice, and they'd exchange ideas, and so they've had a lot of respect over the years. And that's kind of a general tone, even at some of these other media days, how much that Iowa staff is respected by all the coaches around the league. You know, they go about things the right way. And then this week, you know, you don't want to give them too much ammunition. So much of it's been, praising, you know, what a fundamentally sound program it is. You know, they play a lot of base stuff, but they do it very well. I know Iowa people, you know, gripe about it sometimes when things don't go their way, but when they execute, because that's what they practice, they win football games. And that's probably what Saturday and the Saturday after that and the Saturday after that comes down to. And that's what Clays has talked about, is how impressed he is with how fundamental Iowa is. They preach to be in the right spot, and they usually are. And that's how they win football games over the long course of a season.
I'm just sitting here thinking, Mike, I haven't heard a good Iowa-Minnesota joke in the last 10 years. Have you?
No, you know, those have kind of gone by the wayside with political correctness. You got to be careful publicly now telling jokes. You never know who's out there to be offended. So I've actually steered clear of telling any, because, you know, for 30 years of my life, I heard them on the other way. And now, you know, you live here for 10 years, and you got to flip the punchline a little bit. Now, for the last 4 or 5 years, I've just given up on them.
I think a lot of people have. Now, I mentioned tongue-in-cheek there. This will be the first trip to Minnesota that Bob Brooks hasn't made. And he and Sid always have gotten along so well over the years. And before Bob, it was Gus Schrader and Bob. And Sid will miss his foil up there, I'm sure.
Well, no question about that. And obviously, we all miss Brooksy for sure. And what I saw some pictures of the banner they have down at Kinnick with he and Z up there. So that's a cool thing to see. And it'll be fun to see Rob Brooks, you know, this weekend and chat with him as always, and the whole gang there. But I know everybody in Cedar Rapids, what a treasure Brooksy was, that's for sure.
Hey, before we let you go here, a couple things. Number one, let's talk a little bit about basketball, which is around the corner. I was having media day today. We were talking about the fact, how big a year is it for Richard Pitino up in the Twin Cities? Does he have to get something done this year? We've heard he's probably the coach on the hot seat, biggest hot seat in the Big Ten Conference.
Yeah, you know, you win two games in the Big Ten, and you probably need to win some the next year. And I think he knows that. He did not, he knows that two wins is not acceptable any place. And now they had some things go wrong, but certainly they didn't think they'd be, you know, that take a step that far back. He has a couple of transfers that he brought in last year that sat out. And it's likely both of those guys will be new starters. So, you know, that's a start. Their best player last year was a true freshman, Jordan Murphy. So he's back, and you would expect him to make some gains. Nate Mason is going to be a junior, and he'll be the leader of the team. He was suspended for the final few games last year with a couple of other guys, where it really, you know, it got ugly late because they were starting two walk-ons in the last three or four games. Bottom line is they're probably going to have three new starters, maybe four, And my guess is four of the top six scorers will all be new people. So when you win two games in the Big Ten, it's probably right that you need some different faces in there. And then some of the guys that played on that team will serve roles and hopefully increase their games. I don't know what the number is, Scott. I mean, if it's another two, then you're probably looking at something, you know, they're going to change. But personally, I like Richard Pitino, and I know there's people around the league that think he's in over his head because he's a young guy and his dad, you know, helped him get work or what have you. I've been around him. He knows the game. He's one of those guys. He watches film. He can identify stuff. At this point now, it's just a matter of if he can get guys to buy into the belief that he knows, you know, what the message should be. And two, if those guys produce, and it always comes down to talent. I mean, you're going up against Indiana, Michigan State, Wisconsin, you know, that put out pretty good players every year, the Hawkeyes too. So, at this point, he's just got to get his guys to play at a higher level.
Well, what do you see Saturday? Not to throw a score out there, but just what kind of game do you see? And just some of your thoughts about the football game.
Yeah, I think Mark was right earlier. I think depending on how Minnesota rushes the football, and if Iowa has, I don't know, either made adjustments or figured something out, it's really a baffling situation, I'm sure, for everybody as to how Iowa's been giving up, one, rushing yards, but two, like these long drives. You know, since that Michigan State drive, that legendary 20-some play drive in the Big Ten championship game, I don't know if they exposed something, but it seems like Iowa's really struggled giving up similar, I mean, not that long, but drives like that. You know, North Dakota State had that fourth quarter drive that was, what, 15 plays, and Northwestern had two or three drives last week of 75 or 80 yards. And if the Hawkeyes have figured something out to stop Minnesota from doing that, then you know, you got to like Iowa. But I think this will be a close game into the fourth quarter, and, you know, a field goal at the end might decide it for either team.
And, Mike, you didn't take in any Ryder Cup over the weekend, did you?
I did. I was out there. Actually, I spent a good deal of time out there. I obviously missed Friday and Saturday because the Gophers are out at Penn State, but I spent the whole day Sunday. I walked the first nine with Zach Johnson. I mean, not with him. I was just on the holes he was playing, outside the ropes, and then spent the rest of the time. I was covering. I spent the rest of the time in the media center, and then it was a phenomenal event. I know there were a few bad apples that got some bad publicity because they were heckling some guys, but by and large, I thought, you know, the state of Minnesota, and you know what, following Zach on that front nine was unbelievable how many people would yell Iowa or go Hawks or go Drake. Every shot he'd hit, somebody or multiple people would yell that. So I think there were a lot of Iowa folks up watching that golf as well. But it's like 52,000 people a day from Tuesday's practice rounds through Sunday's final round. And that's quite a number of people to send through an event where, you know, literally on two of those days, there's only four groups out at a time. So it's a concentrated group of people. What they did Sunday with Reed and Rory, that's about as much drama as you're going to see what they did on that front nine on a golf course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. And kudos to everybody for getting in and out of that place, because there's no good way to get out of Hazeltine.
That's for sure. I worked because of the post-game or post-round news conferences and such. Luckily, I worked long enough that the traffic was dead by the time I got out of there. I was out there Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then the final day on Sunday.
All right. Mike, always a pleasure talking with you. We'll say hi to everybody up in Manchester for you, but we'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it, guys. Good to chat with you.
You bet. Mike Grimm, play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Golden Gophers, joining us here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Of course, native of Manchester, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
West Delaware Hawk, orange and black, right down to the bare bones,
indeed.
I would imagine. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. Your fantasy football questions. Get them ready to go at 319-366-1600 on the Jerry K. Ask Investment Services text line. We're going to talk to Chris Liss coming up next.
Hey, Paul, upgrade season's here. I got my new iPhone 7 from Sprint.
So, Pete, you upgraded your phone and your carrier. Smart.
Sprint? I've been hearing good things about their network.
Yes, Joey, all networks are within 1% reliability of each other now. And Sprint saves you 50% on most current national carrier rates.
Switch to Sprint and get the new iPhone 7. Plus, save 50% off most current national carrier rates. Don't let a 1% difference cost you twice as much. Visit a Sprint store, sprint.com/iPhone, or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today.
50% savings until 5/31/18 after pay full amount. Subject to $30 activation fee. Credit and valid port in. Must choose from porting carrier rates. Applies to Verizon plan 2, 4, 8, 16, 24, 30, 40, and 50 gigabytes. AT&T mobile share advantage. 1, 3, 6, 10, 16, 25, 30, 40, 50 gigabytes. T-Mobile simple choice 2, 6, 10 gigabytes. Carrier and international features differ. Plans exclude unlimited music and video streaming data carryover and cloud options that other carriers' plans may offer. See website for eligible plans. Reliability claim based on third-party data. Offer coverage not available everywhere. Restrictions apply.
Buying life insurance used to be a pain in the... Not anymore. Many of you would rather have a root canal without anesthesia than buy life insurance. Pushy salespeople, medical exams, drawing blood, urine samples. Yuck. Now there's an easier way. In under 20 minutes on the phone, you can be approved and immediately issued up to $500,000 of high-quality term life insurance from top-rated companies. It's called Fast Life. No medical exam, no urine samples, no blood. And on top of that, you will save huge with Fast Life. There's no obligation to get a quote. It's quick, easy, and painless. You'll always get the best price. Call Fast Life at 800-254-9567. 800-254-9567. Spend a few minutes, save huge. Call 800-254-9567 or visit fastlife.life. That's fastlife.life.
First time skydiving?
Sure is.
Okay, you just open the door like this and you jump.
Oh, wait. Should we be like in tandem?
Tandem? That's a great idea.
Are you a certified instructor?
No, but I love parachutes and I love people. Here we go.
You wouldn't take chances with an uncertified skydiving instructor. Don't do it with your finances. Find a certified financial planner professional today at letsmakeaplan.org. CFP. Work with the highest standard.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports, like you, with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great.
And we want to help you get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
They go to the ballpark to watch the game. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the gym class, KGYM.
3:41, back with you here on the Gym Class, the Wednesday edition of the program. Coming up tomorrow, John Cranton from Las Vegas, and also coming up tomorrow, it'll be the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6. I will try to make it 2 weeks in a row at the top of the heap. Right behind you, Mark. You're leading the way at 14-14. Congratulations.
That's not saying a whole lot.
No, that's not going to win you much money in the desert. Chris Liss set to join us right now. If you have a question for Chris, give us a call or send us a text at 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600 as Chris joins us from Berlin, Germany here on this Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday evening for Chris. Chris, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, Scott?
I'm doing about as well as you are right now after watching the Chiefs get pummeled on Sunday Night Football, and you had that same pleasure on Monday night.
Yeah, I actually didn't watch it live, thankfully, and I just kind of watched the highlights, and I can't take it. I mean, I think Ben McAdoo's the 32nd best coach in the NFL.
Well, I thought you were going to say 33rd, just to throw somebody else in front
of
him.
Well, I mean, if people outside were allowed in, yeah, he's not even in the top 1,000. I mean, he's really bad. Andy Reid has had his gaffes, especially with clock management, but at least Andy Reid is a good game planner and play caller. He knows... You know, he's very effective at, you know, figuring out how to go about attacking the other team.
There you go. We got a lot of them already.
Not this weekend, he wasn't.
Yeah, no.
A lot of texts rolling in for you, Chris. But I first wanted to ask you about Tom Brady's return. More likely, he lights it up in Cleveland or is rusty?
I think he'll be a little, I don't want to say rusty, but because they're 10.5-point favorites and it's the winless Browns, I think they'll win by like 8 points or something like that. You know, I don't think they're going to go. I don't think it'll be 38-3. I think it'll be more like 26-16. He'll get his like 190 and two touchdowns, and he'll only attempt 25 passes. That's my guess.
My quarterbacks have issues. I got Eli with a whiny receiver. So what do I do there?
All right, don't blame the receiver. Blame the coach. This is a totally fake controversy. It would have ended if Ben McAdoo just said, yeah, he's very emotional. That's why he's been basically Randy Moss, Jerry Rice. the first 2 years of his career. End of question. He opened up a can of worms, and of course the media loves this stuff. And, you know, what do you want the guy to do? He's just been the best receiver in football for his first 2 years of his career. And so what? He gets, you know, a taunting penalty. I mean, taunting shouldn't even be a penalty in the NFL. Maybe Little League, but not the NFL. So anyway, what's your question, Mark?
No, I'll go on to the text line. I'm okay with ODJ this week. Okay. Yeah. 87-33, standard scoring league. Who do I start, Cam Newton or Carson Wentz?
I think you got to start Cam Newton. You know, I know you got to make sure he's playing, first of all, because he had a concussion. But assuming he's playing, I think he's sort of an auto start.
92-76, also in a standard league, Travis Benjamin or Randall Cobb?
Yeah, those are both guys who have had a lot of problems. I'll say Cobb. I think Cobb is at risk of becoming irrelevant, but Benjamin hasn't been consistent either, and I'll gamble on Cobb one more week.
Hey, before we get to a couple more texts, my question of the day is, DeAndre Hopkins is very much disappointing me because he's not being targeted as much because Will Fuller has been so good for the Texans. What do you think? People that have DeAndre Hopkins, do they just relax on that like I'm doing, or should we panic?
I think you should panic a little bit. I mean, there's nothing you can really do, but... You know, he's going to still get 140, 150 targets on the year, and he's going to get his 8 touchdowns and 1,100 yards. But last year, he had 190-something targets because he was really the only game in town. I just don't think he's that good. You know who I think he's like? He reminds me of peak Chad Ochocinco, Chad Johnson. He made acrobatic plays a lot. He was a good receiver, you know, among the league leaders. But he was never Terrell Owens, Randy Moss. You know, that's how Hopkins is. He's not the biggest or the fastest, the most athletic guy. He just... make some acrobatic plays, and he's a good receiver.
52-60 on the text line. Is Zach Ertz a good play this week? And who would you start, Kelvin Benjamin or Sterling Shepard?
I would start Benjamin, and I think, you know, Shepard, who knows? McAdoo, is he going to get his ball to the receiver, or maybe he'll just keep throwing to Will Tye all game? But Ertz should be a good start. This is a very good matchup. The Lions give up a lot to tight ends. And just make sure that Ertz is 100% back.
Who should I start, says 7507, Marcus Mariota or Cam Newton?
Cam Newton.
Let's see, 50-16, a PPR league, Blunt or Gore?
Gore didn't practice today with a chest injury, but he's probably okay. I would probably start Gore. Although, against the Browns, man, Blunt could go crazy. It's really close, actually. I'll still say Gore, but it's close.
All right, then 9437 from the 563 area code. Standard scoring league, Hogan, Funchess, or Treadwell?
Oh, that's bad. I guess I'll go Hogan because Brady's back.
1287, I need two of these, Gore, McKinnon, and Crowell.
Definitely McKinnon, and then Gore, Crowell. I guess I'll go Crowell.
Get some Browns in there, just for fun.
50-16, Matt Ryan or Tom Brady in a PPR?
Tom Brady.
Wow.
Really?
Because of the matchup?
Yeah, well, I mean, the Denver is a death.
That's true, that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah,
Cam
yep.
barely did anything. Last week, Jameis Winston did absolutely nothing. I mean, Denver is a terrible matchup for these QBs.
That'll be a big test for Matt Ryan, though, to see if he is indeed the MVP of this league so far.
Yeah, I don't think Vanilla Ice is going to be up to it.
I think I know the answer to this, Chris. 31-66. Would you trade Odell for Baldwin in a PPR?
You know the answer, Mark.
Absolutely not. No. Especially this
Baldwin's
week.
Baldwin's actually legit, though. I mean, it's not like ridiculous, but I wouldn't do it.
I've got them both, and Baldwin's been good. 69-60 in a PPR league, Sam Bradford or Blaine Gabbert?
Sam Bradford or Blaine Gabbert, you said?
Yep.
Sam Bradford.
Bradford at home against the Texans.
48-15, Rashad Jennings.
I'm sorry you have that, if that's somebody's choice out there.
48-15, Rashad Jennings or Fozzie Whitaker?
Jennings is, I've got to see if he's even going to play. I guess I'll go Whitaker. At least he's going to get third down work.
0636, Brady or Big Ben?
I would go Big Ben against the Jets, who have been terrible on pass defense.
And the Steelers are at home as well.
93-55, would you start Winston over Matt Ryan since they play Denver?
Yes, I would.
94-50, Newton or Brady?
I would go Newton. If he, remember, he's got a concussion, so make sure he's obviously playing.
All right, here you go. Right up your alley here, Chris. Tony and Anamosa. He's been offered the trade. Todd Gurley for Odell Beckham. And he puts down, am I an idiot if I take it?
He's been offered Gurley or he's been offered Beckham?
He's been offered Gurley for Beckham.
No, don't take it.
All right, there you go.
I mean, it depends on your league. If your league is, you know, non-PPR and you only have two running backs and two receivers, I might take it. But if it's two, you know, with three receivers and a PPR league, no, definitely not.
79-66, is Terrell Pryor a good ad in a 12-team standard scoring league? And would you stash Deion Lewis now if you have bench room?
I'd probably gamble on Pryor. I mean, he's their number one receiver, and he sometimes gets snaps at quarterback. Good enough for me.
26-49 is picking up Theo Riddick in a PPR. Who do I drop, Spencer Ware or Chris Sims?
Charles Sims. I would not pick up Riddick for either of those guys. I'd wait until at least Doug Martin proves he's healthy before I drop Sims for Riddick.
Yeah, Charles Sims is an A-back right now.
Yeah, it's not Chris, yeah.
And as far as Ware is concerned, obviously Jamal Charles is back, but he's not 100%. He's going to take more and more of the carries away from Spencer Ware, but I think Ware is still going to be the guy as far as the one that's going to spell Jamal Charles.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be the Thomas Jones, right, Scott?
Absolutely, and every team needs one of those.
Yeah, of course.
You like Howard, the running back for the Bears, Chris?
Yeah, he looks pretty good.
He does.
I didn't see him having much wiggle. He's sort of a big power back, but he ran well, and the Bears, they don't have a real wide tree. There's, you know, him, Jeffrey, now Kevin White's out for the year. Eddie Royal's banged up. I mean, they're going to use him.
45-85 or 15-85 in a PPR, Whitaker or Ryan Matthews?
Probably Ryan Matthews, who practiced today, but it's a little dicey because Wendell Smallwood looked really good.
67-11 in a standard league, Philip Dorsett or Tavon Austin?
In standard, in this particular matchup, the Colts get the Bears at home, and Tavon Austin is hosting the Bills. And those guys are both so feast or famine. I'll say Austin.
Similar question that you've answered, 79-66. Deion Lewis, a good stash now or wait?
If you have the bench room, go ahead. You may as well gamble and pick him up in a PPR. Non-PPR, I wouldn't bother. But in PPR, it's getting to be time, right? I mean, if you wait till the week before, someone will get him. So just make sure, you know, with the bye weeks coming up, that you have roster room to do it.
Yeah, and by the way, the bye weeks this week, Jacksonville, Kansas City, Seattle, and New Orleans. So a lot of good offensive guys on the shelf this week. I think that's why we're getting a lot of the questions that we're getting.
Yeah, I mean, you got to realize, like, you know, first 3 weeks of the year, you can stash a whole bunch of guys, and then you realize half your team is on bye, and you can't drop Allen Robinson. So all those DL guys and all those injured guys, you got to drop. I mean, you got to get guys in your active lineup.
12-38, Tyrod Taylor or Jameis Winston?
Jameis Winston.
09-09, should I pick up Terrence West?
Yes, depending on what you have to drop. Kenneth Dixon is coming back this week probably, so we'll see. But Terrence West is the starter for now.
5505 would like to know what the status of Decker is.
Separated shoulder or torn rotator cuff or something like that, and he is day-to-day. There's some chance he plays this week. I'd be surprised if he does.
1878, Matt Ryan or Ben Roethlisberger, or do I start?
Ben Roethlisberger.
There you go.
About Will Fuller over Macklin as my flex every week.
Well, you got to switch off week to week depending on the matchups. And this week, I don't like Macklin's matchup. He's playing a bye.
Yep, you don't want to play him this week.
He's got a tough matchup against the golf course.
1287, Rivers or Dalton?
I would go Rivers at Oakland.
By the way, the Chiefs better be running stairs right now still.
0720, Smallwood, Jennings, or Coleman? I'm worried about Coleman's reps going down.
Well, that, and he's got some sort of sickle cell disease or one of the diseases where you can't really play in altitude. So he's probably off this week or going to barely play. And so it's Rashad Jennings or Whitaker, and I will go Whitaker.
91-21, Ryan or Simeon?
I would go.
That's
facing each other. I think I would go Simeon just because that defense is so tough and it's in Denver.
Our friend Matt, the Michigan fan, needs two out of these, Chris. Evans, Shepard, Marshall, and Matthews.
Marshall and Evans.
Okay.
Go with Mike Evans. Interesting. Simeon, by the way, sounds like he will play, but Carson Palmer is out for Thursday night's game. So
yes, he is.
It'll be Drew Stanton leading the Cardinals in pretty much a must-win game as they go on the road against San Francisco so far. Has Matt Ryan been the fantasy MVP so far through the first month?
I wouldn't say that. He's been good. I gotta look up who else it would actually be. But it would. I wouldn't. Usually QBs you can find. Although there hasn't been a lot of huge QB outings for. He's up there.
Yeah, 500 yards will help. Julio Jones has been pretty darn good too.
He had one no show and then one massive game. I would say DeMarco Murray, for what you paid, has been a pretty good fantasy player so far.
Got him as well, and I'm very happy about that.
Let's go to the phones, and we're going to go to line one. Alex is not with us here today. He's in Iowa City. So, caller, just go ahead with your question for Chris.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. You're on with Chris.
Oh, hey, surprise. It's Dave the Trucker.
Hey, Dave.
I had to call in for one thing. I was going to do it offline, but since you got me on air, guys. Hey, I think the bet it can't be done January 1st, and I know neither one of us want to miss those playoff games. So you pick a date after the bet's over, and I'll let you pick the date. But I don't want to miss those games, do you? So how about they play Nebraska on the 25th? How about that Sunday after they play after the season ends?
Dave, we'll get you on with Todd and Tyler. How's that? We'll get you right back here. And we got – that's what happens when you don't have a call screener, Chris. Yeah. Dave's talking about something from yesterday.
We do a show, too. People call up who aren't even listening. They just know from the time the show is, and they just try to get questions answered.
Dave's talking about his bet with Tyler.
We got time for a couple of the texts?
A couple more real quick.
Smallwood or Jennings?
Jennings may or may not play, and Green Bay's tough against the run. I'll go Smallwood, although Ryan Matthews may be back.
44-20, Fitzgerald, DeSean Jackson, or Diggs?
I'm going to say Diggs.
65-78, Wentz or Prescott?
I'm going to say Wentz.
Do you think with Palmer out, will the Cardinals lean heavy on David Johnson?
Yeah, they've been leaning pretty heavy on him. Either way, and I think you can – he's an automatic starter. Even though he hasn't been – I'm still waiting for him to break out. He's got 100 yards from scrimmage every game.
And Chris Johnson got dinged up, though, last week too. Yeah. So we'll maybe even see some Andre Ellington coming up this week for the Cardinals.
We could see a little bit.
All right, Chris, talk about rotowire.com, and I will try to do you better this week. We kind of got KO'd by the Denver defense last week.
Yeah. No, don't worry. We'll pick it up, Scott. If you enjoy the segment, rotowire.com/trial. It is a free 10-day trial, and you can check out all the latest news, our rankings for this particular week. If you have a start sick question, also our Ask the Experts, get a response within 24 hours. You can ask any question about your team. Again, it's rotowire.com/trial.
All right, Chris. Best of luck this weekend. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Thanks, you too, guys.
All right, Chris List joining us from Berlin, Germany, talking some fantasy football, and his appearance brought to you by Imon Communications. Mark, tonight, Bowling Night in America, week 5, I'm on, you're off.
Finds right with the Rusty Nails tied for second, going up against the league leaders, led by Mike Hoskins, our secretary. They have a 3-game lead over us, so...
They've been bowling outstanding
so
far.
You better bring it tonight, Scott.
This is number 1 versus number 2. My gosh, this one should be nationally televised.
Who would thunk? Who would have thunk?
Alert the Ocho. Because this one will be a dandy, as they say.
Breaking news, Scott Unash has a higher average than me for the first time ever.
That's not going to last. That's
the confidence. Way to go.
Yeah, but you're going to get better, and mine's going to go down slightly. So with that in mind, our thanks to May City Bowl, the sponsor of Bowling Night in America on Trent Street, Southwest in Cedar Rapids. We will have a complete report coming your way about that tomorrow. APC is on the way next. Todd and Tyler, they will have audio from Iowa Men's Basketball Media Day. And we have a Dr. Pepper prize pack to give away right now. I'm going to go with caller number 5 at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. You are going to get a Dr. Pepper prize pack. Stay tuned. As we mentioned, Todd and Tyler coming up with the APC. Gary Rima, one of their guests, to talk UNI football. All that coming up from 4 o'clock until 7. And the Mets and the Giants tonight at 7. Bay City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, Mays...